1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. I think we could probably have a testimony service tonight and come up with all the reasons why we should praise God. We could praise God for answered prayer. We could praise God for our salvation. We could praise God for Him providing for us. We can praise God for helping us get out of some tight situations. We could just praise God for who He is. Praise God for His truth and praise God for His protection. Praise this. So we're going to be looking at the first seven verses of 1 Peter chapter 1 tonight. So let's read. It says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly what?
Rejoice.
Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations or trials, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Here was a letter from Peter. And he's writing to people that he doesn't even know. Maybe some people would pick up this letter that he knew, he met. But Peter didn't go around like Paul and start churches. He basically kind of went from Jerusalem and then he went to Rome. And the issue is that Peter, we've talked about this, Peter is just like us. You know, Peter was a man who had trouble with his temper. There are people in here tonight that may have trouble with their temper. Or he was also a man who had trouble with temptation. He had trouble with his tongue. He seemed to speak a lot like a lot of people before engaging his brain. But you know something? God loved Peter. God loves us. And Peter's writing this general letter to all believers here. And so this is a letter to believers, as we see here. And it's just not for a select few. It's for everybody in all of these regions. He covered the evangelized world at that point. How do we know he's talking about believers? It says, according to what? Through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience, the sprinkling of blood of Jesus Christ. Folks, you can't get saved. You can't go to heaven unless you have the blood of Jesus Christ covering your sins. Until there was a point in your life that you knew that you weren't going to heaven, and that you realized that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came and lived a perfect life and died on the cross in your place. Paid the penalty for sin, which was death, and was buried for 3 days, and then on the third day rose again to the glory of the Father. To show that He has power over death, that He is the resurrection and the life, and that He sits on the right hand of God offering salvation and forgiveness of sins to all who will call on Him. And we need to understand that that's the whole point. If everyone is in here and they're saved, you have something to praise for. Even when things are going, something that cannot be taken away, your salvation. And so this letter here begins with reasons to praise the Lord. So we're going to be looking at these seven verses here, basically from verses 3-7. And we're going to see some reasons that we should praise God. The first one is found in verse 3, that God has given us a lively hope. In verse 3, we see the phrase, unto a what? lively hope. See, that is not the condition of those that do not know Jesus Christ as Savior. They have no real hope. And so in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12, the Bible says this, that at times ye were what? Without Christ, being aliens. So if you don't know Christ, you're an alien to Him. You are the enemy of God. The Bible says that. And it says, from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of what? Promise. Having what? No hope. And without God in the world. What a terrible condition to be in. Folks, we are happy when we have hope. We are happy when things are going that benefit us. You know, there are some out there that have a false hope. We talked about that this morning. Religion, man's way of thinking about how to get to heaven, is a false hope. There's a lot of isms out there. And they sound good, do good, but they're not good. They're not good enough. The only way that we can be good enough is to give up and ask God to forgive us our sins and have His blood cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In Proverbs chapter 11, verse 7, it says, when a wicked man dieth, his expectation or his hope shall perish, and the hope of unjust men perisheth. So this letter is to believers. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, this doesn't apply to you. It applies to us. And folks, we need as a church to learn how to worship God. We need as a church to know how to work to praise Him. See, we can contrast these to Peter's living hope. You know the first one? I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. We don't serve some dead man that's in a tomb. We don't serve a bunch of rules and regulations. We serve a living Savior. In Romans chapter 1, our Christ is alive. Our Messiah is alive. And it doesn't matter if you don't believe the Messiah has come or not. He's come. Bible has proved it. History has proved it. He's come. In Romans chapter 1, verse 4, it says, and declared to be the Son of God with what? Power. According to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. See, Christ raised Jairus' daughter. Christ raised Lazarus. He told Mary and Martha, He says, I am the resurrection and the life. And then He says, I'll lay my life down and I'll pick it up again. And no man takes it from me and no man will give it back to me. I'll do this myself. And then before He goes to the cross, He says, I am the way, the truth, and the what? Life. No man comes to the Father but by me. You know, we have a living hope because we serve a living Savior. Secondly, our salvation is guaranteed. You know why? Because He did all of it for us. It's a gift. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 through 6, Awana learns this. It says, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the what? Scriptures. Everything that Jesus Christ did was in accordance to what the Word of God said He was going to do. He is the Word of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And that He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. Peter. Okay? After that He was seen of above 500 brethren at once. Folks, that would float in court. If you have 500 witnesses, you win your case because you could prove your case. 500 witnesses, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. Some had gone on to glory. So Peter had a living hope because our Christ is alive. Secondly, our salvation is guaranteed. That ought to make you want to shout. And then thirdly, our similar resurrection is sure. Remember what Paul wrote to the Thessalonican church. He said, I don't want you to live as if you have what? No hope. We have a hope here. And later on in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 20 through 23, it says, but now is Christ risen from the dead. You know, if Christ had risen from the dead, why are we here? We would be of all people most what? Miserable. He says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead, because he's the second Adam. It says, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. He's coming back. You can read the news. You can read the Bible and compare it to the news. He's coming back. And if you say, nah, he's not coming back, you're fooled. You're fooled. You know, Peter also writes about there. He talks about it in chapter 2. He says, where's the promise of his coming? He says, for the days of the flood, all these things have been saying, and tomorrow will be just like today. One day the trumpet will sound. One day the shout will occur, and those that are dead in Christ will rise, and those that are alive and remain will be caught up together with him in the clouds. And so we will ever be with the Lord. And that's hope in itself. That should be praise in itself, because our similar resurrection is sure. Secondly, our God has given us a lasting inheritance. Here it says in verse 4, it says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in what? Heaven for you. You know, have you ever been to a restaurant, and when there's a waiting list outside, but you have a reservation, and you come up and I have a reservation, and you say, come right on in. There's a whole bunch of people that think they're going to get to heaven, and they're going to be on the outside. But boy, when we pass into glory, we could just go right on in. See, Peter was a son of a poor fisherman. He didn't have much money. And you know what? His earthly inheritance would have been small, and it probably would have smelled too. It would have been the boat and all the fishing nets and everything else. But the issue is he left all to follow Christ. It was Peter. Yeah, Peter that spoke up when Christ was talking about, don't worry about stuff. Just go out and just do what I tell you to do. And in Mark chapter 10, verse 28, says, then Peter began to say to him, lo! We left all and have followed thee. And then Christ gives him assurance. He says, look. He says, if you leave to follow me, leave these things, follow me, I'll restore them. I'll give you something in eternity that's far, far better than that. See, he left even his small inheritance. I mean, today, what do people want to do? They want to hang on to everything they got. And we find out that everything we got gets smaller and smaller and smaller, don't we? Friends and relatives, Peter, what on earth are you doing? You're leaving your family, you're leaving all this to follow this man Jesus. Why would you do such a foolish thing? Oh, with God, the foolishness of God is wiser than men. It's the foolishness of preaching that people get saved. You know, what's wrong with you, Peter? Why would you do this? You know, something, he saw something in Jesus. He heard something in his voice. He listened. He listened. And he labored for things that would bring glory to God. You know? But Peter, you got to build up a 401k. You got to build yourself a shelter and get ready as a hedge of inflation and buy gold. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and lose his own soul? See, Peter had a lively hope. Peter had a lasting inheritance. And God has given us a lasting inheritance too. See, that Peter now realizes that he has a great inheritance ahead. Look back at verse 4 and see four fundamental things about our inheritance, folks. You know, how many people have you bought something that says it's unbreakable? And then you manage to break it. Or it says it's supposed to have a what? Lifetime guarantee. And then after about 2 days it stops working. Folks, our inheritance is incorruptible. It won't break. It won't stop working. It won't stop working. It's one that is undefiled. Oh, my first car that I had. I loved the car. It was a great car. And I had a little rock chip on it. And I went out and I got touch-up paint. And I tried to touch it up, and it didn't look quite right. And so I kind of sanded it up, and I tried to do it again, and it didn't look quite right. And then all of a sudden, the little hole that was about this big wound up to be about that big. And then I tried something else, and it just got worse. I wound up having the entire hood repainted by a body shop. And it still didn't look right because the paint didn't match. You know something? The point is that we have an inheritance that's never going to change. And it's undefiled. We can't mess it up. We can live like it's messed up. But nothing that God gives us is messed up. Nor would it ever change. It's one that will not fade away. It's not a mirage. There's so many people trusting in empty words today. Why don't you trust in the living Savior? Why don't we trust in the living Savior? One that is what? Reserved in heaven. Amen. For you. Folks, we have an inheritance. We have one that's uncorruptible. We have one that's undefiled. We have one that doesn't fade away. We have one that's absolutely real. It's tangible in eternity. And one that's reserved in heaven. Isn't that enough to praise God for? Amen. Isn't that enough to praise God for? See, we are perishing people among perishing things. In James chapter 4 verse 14 it says, whereas ye know not what will be on the morrow. For what is your what? What is your physical life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. But folks, we're not working for 401ks down here. We're working for the Savior. We're working because the night's coming. We're working because people need to hear the gospel. We're working for all these. We're working for riches and treasures in heaven. Where moth and rust does not what? Corrupt it or defile it. Oh, folks. We have a lively hope. We have a lasting inheritance. In Christ, we do not perish. Nor does our inheritance. You go back to John chapter 14, what does it say? It says, I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also.
Amen.
In John chapter 10, verse 28, Christ says, it says, and I give them unto them eternal life, and they shall never what? Perish.
Amen.
Oh, folks, that ought to cause you to be happy. You'll never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Oh, folks, we should be praising God because we have a lively hope. We should be praising God because we have a lasting inheritance. We should be praising God because God has given us a lifetime of powerful protection. Look at verses 5 through 7. It says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the what? Last time. See, that first phrase is very important. This word for kept is actually a military term. It means to be guarded by a group of soldiers. It's to be guarded by a group of soldiers. We are guarded by the power of God. Remember in the Old Testament, you know, there are times that Hezekiah, the Lord of hosts, came down and took away the Assyrians. With Jehoshaphat, the Lord of hosts came down, and all they had to do was what? Sing. All they had to do was what? Sing, and they killed each other. Elijah, surrounded by the Assyrian army, because he was telling the king of Israel where they were all the time. And they were out to get him. And there was the Assyrian army following him. And then behind them, encircled, were flaming angels. Oh, there's more with God than there is with man. God will win. God will win. You know, we are guarded by the power of God. Our Lord cares for us every day. We talked about this morning. Martha, Martha, you're careful and you're troubled about all these things. Mary's chosen the good part, one that won't be taken away from her. Oh, cast your burden on Him. Cast your care on Him because He cares for you. He's the omnipotent. He's got all the power. He's the omniscient. He's got all the knowledge. He's the omnipresent. He's everywhere, right here, right now. Oh, folks, we need to praise God for the beauty of His holiness. We need to praise God for just who He is. See, our God, and He cares for you. He knows all the hairs on your head if you haven't, and then He knows that you don't. And He still cares for you.
Amen.
See, He provides power to overcome temptation. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, John writes, he says, ye are of God, little children, and have what? Overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he is in the world. In chapter 2 of the same book, he says, follow God, my little children. He says, you've overcome the what? The evil one. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 5, in the last chapter of that book, it says, who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Oh, folks, do you believe that tonight? That's something to praise God for. So we're kept by His power. Our Lord cares for us every day. In verse 6 it says, for we greatly rejoice, even now for a season, if need be, your what? In heaviness through all the stuff that you're going through right now. There's a lot of challenges out there. There's health challenges. There's financial challenges. There's truth challenges out there. But God's greater than them all. And we can overcome them. See, even our testings and trials are temporary. Verse 7, it says that the trial of your faith, and look at this passage here, it says, being much more what? Precious than gold that what? Perisheth. See, God wants us to be pure gold. And pure gold, you get all the inferior gold out of your life. See, even our testings and our trials, the trying of our faith is more precious than gold. Some of us probably say, I'd sure like to have some gold right now. Okay? You have it. It's in Christ. It's in Christ. It's the trying of your faith. See, we have problems now, but praise later at the Lord's return. Because it goes here, it says, though it might be tried with fire, might be found unto what? Praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 8, verse 18, it's my last verse tonight. He says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be" what? "Revealed in us." Oh, folks, we need to worship God in everything that we do. We need to praise God for all that He does. See, God has given us great reasons to praise Him. Okay? Peter praises the God and he praises the Lord because of his living hope and of a lasting inheritance. And then of a lifetime of powerful protection. We should be praising God for the exact same thing. But are we? But are we? You can't praise God unless you know Him. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, have an opportunity right now. Opportunity right now as we have this verse of invitation to cry out to God, ask for forgiveness of your sins, and understand who God is and why He died on the cross. He died on the cross for you and was buried and rose again the third day. And He offers salvation to all who will what? Call upon the name of the Lord. If you've never done that, here's an opportunity to do this. Christian, we down in the dumps. We've been defeated. A lot of bad things have been happening. But you know something? My God's greater than all those things. And we need to set our sights. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the what? Earth. Oh, let's put our priorities and let's put our praise, let's put our worship in the right places. Amen? Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this time. Lord, I ask You for this time of invitation. Father, just help us, Lord, to praise You. Help us, Lord, to follow You. Help us, Lord, to just live for You in all things. We thank You and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.